Welcome to Home and Family Finance with Paul Barry. It's your family, it's your finances, and it's your future. Home and Family Finance is sponsored by the Defense Credit Union Council, serving those who serve our country, and by CUNA, the Credit Union National Association. Now, here's the host of Home and Family Finance, Paul Barry.
And as always, what a pleasure to be with you here on Radio America 1260 and all those other stations across the country and around the world, and to all of our military, wherever they may be stationed on the American Forces Radio Network. It is a pleasure to have a few minutes with you. Thanks for taking time from your busy schedule to listen to me on some topics that I think, on a topic today. Generally, we talk about a couple of things, but today we're going to talk about two things. We're going to talk about marriage, and then we're going to talk about divorce. And unfortunately, those two things really do go together. Not like a horse and carriage, because they become unhooked and the horse runs off one way and the carriage is another way, and it can be very difficult. If you think about the fact that of all the marriages, and there are hundreds of thousands of marriages every year in America, almost half will end in divorce. So this is something that's going to affect all of us. You're either involved or will be involved, or you know someone that is involved. And my guest today is an expert on that. We're going to talk about what he knows. We're going to talk about what came out of a recent survey by Experian. And they know a thing or two about what they do. And I think you're going to be surprised at what they are reporting when it comes to marriage and divorce. But before we get to that, let me get to Financially Fit. You know, the name of the show is Home and Family Finance. But if we were to choose another name, it would be Are You Financially Fit? And what do I mean by that? First of all, are you making more than you spend? Are you making more than you spend, or are you spending more than you make? And you know the difference, because if you're spending more than you make, you are borrowing money, you are not in a happy situation. And so many of us are right there. So, my goodness, you know how much money you make. Don't spend more than you make. Well, yes, sir, Mr. Barry, I agree with you. That's the way it ought to be. That's easy to say, but it's hard to do, because we want things. We are embraced every moment with buying something, whether we can afford it or not. So let me tell you how I want you to be financially fit to survive. I want you to put away 6 months of survival funds. That's what I call it, in your savings account. Add up all of your expenses every month, the total everything that you spend money on. Add it all up, mortgage, rent, utilities, food and drink, clothes, please. I don't care what it is. Put it all together and then put together a month of that. Put it in your savings account, not to be touched under any circumstances. Now, it can make money for you, but you can't use that for anything except survival. Survival. Then secondly, I want you to put away 3 months. Now, that I want 6 months of that, so that if something happens to you, and it will, you have 6 months that you know you can survive, take care of yourself and your family before you start getting into a tight squeeze. Six months gives you time to kind of get things straightened out. It's so basic and so vital. Then I want you to put away 3 months of emergency funds. Well, what's the difference, Paul? I'll tell you, this account is for what happens to others who call on you, and that's going to happen, and you don't want to touch your survival funds. These are emergency dollars that you are willing to share with family, friends, whomever, who calls and says, look, I've gotten real troubled, and you don't want to say no to them, and you're able to help. And you can help yourself, too, to that. Now, this is not quite as critical. That means that if you need to dip into that, you can. But always bring it back and have 3 months of emergency funds available, okay? And finally, the most important of all of this, I think, aside from not spending more than you make, are you saving at least 5% of everything you make? And by the way, I get so criticized about that. People say, don't say 5%, say 10, say 15, say 20. Look, you can take the number any way that you want, as high as you want, but don't ever go below 5% of everything you make, no matter how the money comes in. Take that 5% and put it away. Pay yourself. It's a savings. You got to have that account. If you do that, folks, then you are becoming financially fit. Then you can do other things in your life. But if you don't, then you're going to be struggling and you're not going to be very happy. Okay? None of that is a surprise to my guest today, who is going to be talking to us about marriage, divorce, marriage, what it means, where we are, and the number of people that are impacted by it. Okay, you're just not. Stanley Corey is a certified financial planner, a wealth management man. He knows all of this. None of this is a surprise to him. And he's managing director of Financial Life Management. He's going to be with us. His new book is The Divorce Dance, which is kind of like a novel about the divorce business, the marriage, divorce, whatever you, however you want to put it together. He tells you how to protect your money, manage your emotions, and understand the legal issues that are involved. And we're going to talk about that today because there's so much here, so much to. And what about you? Chances are it's going to happen to you. You got a 50% chance, if you just got married, of getting divorced. 50%. Scary numbers. Scary numbers. Okay? That's where we're going today, and I think you're going to enjoy every bit of it. When I come back, we'll introduce you to Stanley. And listen to him, and I think you're going to be surprised. And we're also going to quote from the Experian study that's just come in terms of 50% of people said that finances played a role in their divorces. We'll be right back. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm your host, Paul Berry.
We want you to be part of the show. Email us with your financial questions. Ask about the Defense Credit Union Council. Tell us what topics you want to hear about. Or just let us know what's on your mind. We'll give you the address in a few minutes. But now, more of Home and Family Finance with Paul Berry.
Stanley Corey has been a guest on this show before, back in July of 2016. We talked about this issue, which is astounding to me. I mean, we just accept some things as that's just the way it is. But of the people, I don't know what the numbers are, millions. How many people are going to get married this year? 500? I don't know. But the fact is half of those people will be involved in divorce. And whether it's 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, at some point, they're going to separate from each other. And guess what takes the beating, besides the children, which we care about, and the property, is the family budget, is your finances. Because now all of a sudden, you living together are going to start living individually. And chances are you don't even know what that is involved. But Stanley knows, and he's with me today in studio. Stanley, nice to have you back here on Home and Family Finance.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
Well, I was very impressed with our program. I mean, you have a grasp of this like no one I've talked to. And then along comes Experian, and I called you right away. Wait a minute. What about this, what they're saying? Now, I'm going to read these out, and okay. then we'll go from there. This is a brand new survey from Experian revealing the role finances play in divorce and how consumers are financially affected in the aftermath. And none of what I'm saying is a surprise to him. This is for you at home. He already knows this stuff, and he's going to comment. Additional findings, surprising. And by the way, Experian doesn't tell me how many people they checked, but I know them to be legitimate and a very good source of information. So I'm going to take them at their word, even though I didn't see the numbers that they use, the number of people that they surveyed or when or where they surveyed. But here's what they find. 59% of people said that finances played a role in their divorces, and 20% said it played a, quote, big role. A majority of both women, 71%, and men, 60%, said that former spouses' spending habits were different than what they anticipated before they married. Hell, they never talked about it. I'll bet you a dollar to a donut. They never had that conversation. Are you a spender or are you a saver? I'm in love. We're just in love, and love covers all. It does not cover everything, folks, and I can promise you that if you haven't had that conversation, it's going to come up, and it ain't going to be a loving conversation, believe me, for a lot of people. Average financial loss from divorce, according to the Experian study, reaches nearly $20,000. In cash and assets. That's average financial loss from divorce. That might or might not be right. I want to know what Stanley thinks about that. 44% said their former spouse ruined their credit. No kidding. Surprising. 40%. 44% said, wasn't for that son of a gun, I'd be okay. Don't you believe it? Believe that it was definitely had an impact. And 59% of respondents regret and this is probably the most sensible thing, 60% almost that they regret not being more financially independent in their marriage. So what surprises you about any of this, Stanley? Anything?
No, not at all. I think one of the keys many times is that I get a chance to talk with clients' children. They're looking to get married. And funny, they come in and talk to me, and I ask them similar questions that you just asked. You know, have you had a conversation about cash flow and spending and how you do things and how do you use credit? And so we talk about how much, a lot of times, how much credit card debt or having educational debt. Because of the, you know, going through school. A lot of kids today come out, 90% of them have debt from their going to college. And it can take 10, 15 years to pay that off. But they have to have that financial conversation if you step back from the emotional lust, love
all syndrome, of that other stuff,
all
right.
the cloud,
right.
the
right.
fog, the love cloud, or whatever, you then have to have a sensible conversation. I mean, it's very important to understand how the other person deals and thinks about money.
Let's talk about that one thing that you just simply said. You, Stanley, are a saver. You save money. You don't have any debt. You have no debt whatsoever. On the other side of it, Paula is a spender, and I've got $60,000 in student debt alone. I'm not going to tell you that before we decide that we're going to become a couple.
I think the reality is you have to have full disclosure prior to marriage. And so both people would sit down and bring their financial statements together. I suggest people share their credit scores. Go online, get your copy of credit scores. That will tell you a lot about the other person's spending habits.
Yeah, but why should you know my – isn't that personal to me?
Did it? Well, we're going to be married. I think we're going to get real personal here, Paula.
Nothing more personal than that. When we come back, we'll talk more with Stanley about this the study and also about his book and the information on what he knows. You listen to him, folks. It can make a big difference in your life. We'll be right back. Stay with us. You're listening to Radio America. I'm your host, Paul Berry, and we thank you for joining us. Our program sponsor is the Defense Credit Union Council. And if there's a topic or subject that you want to discuss, please write to me here at hffradio.com. We'd like to cover what you'd like to hear, and believe me, we'll respond to it if you tell us what's important to you. Simple as that. And, of course, all of my military listeners, you know, your situation is not so different, but Stanley will tell you some of the things that you should watch out for. He's also going to talk about my opening jab at you about being financially fit. His terminology may be different. Point is the same thing, but we'll have him explain it from his point of view. He's the expert on this. And also, Stanley, the divorce dance is your book, which – is a novel. It's a little bit unique. It's not just a lot of facts and figures out there. You've done it in a novel form. Explain that.
Sure. One of the things that I find is that people respond to stories more than just data. And so there are a lot of books that either are self-help books about the personal situation, or there are textbooks you go and you look up things. So what I did, I've been doing it for about 25 years, so I took this amalgamation of a lot of cases. Didn't identify anybody in particular, but I took these little snippets of cases and created a story.
Based on facts.
But all the data in there is factual data. But I wanted it to be a teaching novel. So in this case, I work with a lot of women who may be less well-informed in the process. So through the eyes of the wife in this case, she becomes the teacher for the reader, explaining the different types of divorce processes, how to find an attorney, working with mental health professionals, working with financial people, helping their children. How do you have a parenting plan? There's lots of different pieces of the pie. People look at divorce and sometimes they draw a battle line and it becomes just a fight over things and some money. But they ignore the children. And so one of the goals I have in this is describing the use of mediation, collaborative law, and other things so that you can have a more respectful divorce. when you have children involved, you're going to know each other for the rest of your lives. And so instead of having a war, if you can come to terms on a respectful basis, then you can jointly enjoy the events with your children. Then they graduate from high school and college, get married, have babies.
Can you have a respectful, anger-free divorce, Stanley?
It takes some work. And usually if you can avoid the major conflicts and you're both willing to look at the total picture, get independent help from a mediator or through collateral process or through traditional, even with lawyers that are trained in these areas, and that you're not going to go to court. There's really no reason to go to court, and very few cases actually get there. It's extremely expensive. But mostly if you sit down, just like, and figure out what do I have and how are we going to move forward. But as you mentioned earlier, I think the key issue for most people is they don't understand is that their lawyer is there to help them go through the legal process. But they're not a financial person. They're not a mental health person. And many times you may need a mental health provider to help you with emotional issues, because obviously divorce is a huge emotional problem.
Sure.
But also your children. You know, one of the old statistics that I remember is that we spend less than 30 minutes talking to our children about our divorce. And the children are kind of left on the side and they're observing everything. And we think that they're just going to go through it. But having them have someone being a representative for them, listening to their issues. So I like having a mental health professional work with the children so they can air their views, because they're afraid if they go to one parent or the other, they're playing favorites. And then they're caught in the crossfire.
Which puts all of this in this, and it comes down to this question that I have to ask you. How do we avoid this in the first place? I mean, half of the marriages, Stanley, half of the people that get married who say, I do, love you for the rest of my life, are going to say, I want a divorce.
Yeah, they forget there's an asterisk on that term, the rest of my life. But the issue is, it comes down to some basic common sense things, I think, as we chatted before. One of the fun ones, when I counsel people who are about to get married, one of the things I tease them about and say, because you've each had your own careers maybe at some point, people getting married a little later, you've had your own money, you should maintain some of your own things. But when it comes to spending something that now you're a couple, is a simple rule I have is do not make unilateral financial decisions involving more than $500, with one exception. If you're buying bling, it's okay.
If you're buying bling, it's okay.
But other than that, don't go show up to your spouse with a new car without talking to them ahead of time.
Yeah,
those kind of things can create a lot of problems.
Conversation.
Anytime you're going to spend serious dollars, it's time to have a conversation about how the other person feels about it and make joint financial decisions.
Stanley Corey is my guest. When we come back, we're going to hear more about this. Listen to him, folks. It could save you a lot of grief later. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm Paul Berry.
Helping you be safe, smart, and secure with your finances. Welcome back to Home and Family Finance with your host, Paul Berry.
You're newly married. You love her. She loves you. You intend to spend the rest of your life together, but something happens. And my guess is what happens is generally because you haven't prepared yourself properly to understand what it means to share. And you find yourself in the divorce dance, okay? You find yourself in that situation. So, Stanley, the question has to be here. If we are there and we know that, or at least we think we know, who do we reach out to? What are the first things we ought to do? How should we approach this if we can do it with the anger, once the anger subsides?
Well, clearly, one of the things I think is most important is to understand there are different divorce processes. It's not – we always hear the TV stuff or hear the noise or the horror stories or people that end up with, very little. I have something called the bag lady syndrome. You fear you're going to live under the bridge. I mean, so these are all kinds of real fears and concerns people have. And divorce, when you get in divorce, it's all about the legal issues. And so all of these things for most people are unknowns. So it's really important for you to gain some knowledge. And the knowledge you want to gain is to first decide what type of divorce process. Are you going to go and turn over basically the decision-making to the attorneys and have the attorneys negotiate on your behalf, more of a, what we would call a traditional type approach, or hopefully not end up in court. But they're basically going to represent your interest. They're going to communicate. They'll work with you. And it comes down to they'll say, is this okay with you? And by that time, your mind is not in the right place. It emotionally is distraught. It's hard to make that decision. So I find that to be, you know, a difficult one. I prefer the idea of using either mediation or collaborative or some combination of the process where you have more control in the outcome, that you're involved in the process, that you have there's transparency about what's being done, and that you're looking at the wider issues, especially with children getting involved. How do you deal with the child? How do you develop a parenting plan so that you avoid conflicts later on after divorce? So the more you can do this yourself, the more control you have, the better the outcome will be. And what I have found is that the people that go through that together, the divorce turns out to be a successful divorce, meaning they're not going back to litigate something later on. They're not continuing to fight. So you have to try to identify those things. But I would say the key is to gain knowledge, get with some people, go talk to several lawyers, other people are involved. Look online resources to determine the type of process you want to go through and what would be best in your situation.
Part of that. Okay. And then that's if you got to this point. But what you're saying is that if you've done it correctly and the information from the Experian study bears that out, a majority of both men and women said their former spouse's spending habits were different than what they anticipated. Right.
This goes back to the beginning of the issues, you know, when you're first sitting down. But as you are in a marriage, it's very important that you have full disclosure and conversation. And so when I work with couples, I want both spouses in my office. I'm not just talking to the husband or the wife. I need both couples, both spouses, so that I can get information from both. And what we do is we do actually a little quizzing with both about how they deal with money. What's the importance of money? What are their emotional issues and attachments that people may have fears about spending or and other people are just giddy about spending, or their commitment issues, or they have other, you know, concerns.
Yeah.
So all of those come out. And when you understand the differences, all of a sudden sometimes light bulbs go off between them. They say, oh, now I understand why you got so upset because I showed up with X, Y, or Z.
Right, because you've worked it out. You have a but Stanley, we love each other.
I know. Well, that's why you're going to have full disclosure.
You got to
lay it out there.
You got to put it out there.
You got to lay it out there. And like I said before, I'm a firm believer that you know, early on when you're first getting it, is get a credit bureau on both. You may get surprises.
Yeah.
I had one time I had somebody like the woman getting married for the second time was getting ready to get married, and I said, have you gotten a credit bureau? And so she finally got him to get one, and there was nothing there, which scared me, which told me the guy had one asset. He was 60 years old. I said, you don't get to 60 years old without something in there.
Can't be.
So he probably had a bankruptcy, and it turned out he did.
He did.
But it wasn't, you know, disclosed.
Right,
so all
right.
of these things are important to gain understanding about where you're going in the future.
Do you believe that one side or the other, in this case in the Experian study, 44% said their former spouse ruined their credit?
Well, that is a common issue. And that not only does it ruin, because a lot of times you may have joint credit cards, or you're going on your house jointly or cars jointly. And if one person is all of a sudden, in an anger mode, or just may decide not to make the payments, and the other person may not even be aware of it until many, many months come later, where they go knocking on your door asking for payment, and you were totally unaware that there is an obligation. So you look at your credit bureau and find out your credit's gotten messed up. So again, this goes back to why it's important for you to maintain individual credit as well as joint. I think people should have an individual account, bank account to operate on, especially a spouse who's a lower income spouse, gives them a feeling of control over some portion of the family finances. But they need to have their own credit cards, their own bank account. And you can have a joint account, too.
Don't you trust me? You don't need your own account. Why would you need –
What I have found is women in particular don't feel comfortable asking their husband for some money to go spend on something. If they have their own money We're the same with the guy, too. I mean, we have our own money. We tend to see something. We'll, if we can afford it, we'll buy it.
And you should have that right to some degree.
Right. You want to have some independence on those things. Very important to have the independence issue. And that helps the marriage because you can have the feeling that you're maintaining independence, but you're communicating with each other, and you're not doing this on large things.
Folks, we're trying to save you from being in that 50 percentile of divorces. The way you do that is by talking before and talking during and finding folks like Stanley who can help you get your way through the process. We'll be right back with more. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm Paul Berry.
We want you to be part of the show. Email us with your financial questions. Ask about the Defense Credit Union Council. Tell us what topics you want to hear about. Or just let us know what's on your mind. We'll give you the address in a few minutes. But now, more of Home and Family Finance with Paul Berry.
My guest is Stanley Corey. He's a certified financial planner. He is an author. His book is called The Divorce Dance. You can find it at any reputable bookstore, it's what you want to avoid. But if you are there, it tells you how to protect your money, how to manage your emotions, and also to understand the legal issues. But the more important thing, I think, that Stanley suggests throughout all of this is the importance of communications. How is it that all of a sudden you stop talking to each other once you say, "I do"? How is it that you leave your responsibility to either side as opposed to participating in it and understanding? How is it that you now become blended but not single? And what I mean by that, it's all right to have a blending account, but also have your own account. Why shouldn't you have? Part of what makes you exciting to him or vice versa is that you are independent and that you're out there and that you know what you're doing. And you shouldn't give that up, but people give it up and say, this is the better way. It's not the better way, is it, Stanley?
Not always. I think that especially when you think of people getting married later and already having established themselves, each person may already have a home. They may have a condominium or a townhouse, so they've been working for 10 years. They've got some money that's accumulated. So, yeah, I think it gets back to this communication issue, understanding how the other person thinks, and talk about what their expectations are. What are their goals and dreams and aspirations and so forth. If you're going to have children, okay, you have to have the conversation ahead of time. Talk about what is that going to do to the family, or how are you going to plan for that? What's involved and what your thoughts are about education and other things. So the more you can converse with each other and talk about the things that are important, that will avoid conflicts later on. I mean, it's very simple. This is all about conflict avoidance, I always say. Marriage, we always kind of weaving and diving and bobbing and so forth. But the reality is, if this is your spouse that you're supposed to trust, and if the trust gets broken, unfortunately, for whatever reason, then you end up in divorce, it's a sad time. But there are ways to go through that. So the other little part I put on is that we mentioned earlier, divorce is just a process and is a stage in a turn in your life. But you need to understand the consequences of the decisions being made in that divorce settlement, because you can't divorce your settlement later on. And it's very important that you understand what does the division of property, the assets, the income, what is that going to mean to you a year and 5 years down the road? Many people get to the point of agreeing to a divorce, either for whatever reason, and they'll, are just uncertain, but they're being told, is this okay? And they're going, oh, I don't know, but yeah, I need to get that out of this divorce. I don't want the process. It's expensive. They'll sign off to be done. And then a year or so later, when their emotions settle down and they're trying to live, they don't understand what happened.
And what about what we have before, where I'm going with this, before we got married, you had this, I had that. Are you one who suggests that a prenuptial agreement is important or no?
It is in certain cases. I would say if there's significant wealth involved or significant intellectual property or something else that is outside the marriage. Typically in Virginia, when we talk about anything you've accumulated prior to the marriage is typically considered outside of the marriage, non-marital assets. Anything you accumulate during the marriage becomes marital assets other than by inheritance. Mm-hmm. So there is a lot of issues about understanding that one fact of what's marital and what's not marital. If there's some confusion or there's significant asset, it may be worth having some agreement that recognizes this particular asset that would be excluded from any future consideration in the marriage. But for the 99% of the time, it's unnecessary, in my opinion. You're basically laying out a divorce plan
before
you get married. And like I say, sometimes in large estates, large dollar issues, a big inheritance, all these different things that have impacts, it may need to be spelled out a little bit, or at least in specifics to that particular issue.
Let me ask you about this issue, and I know you've heard it before. The fights and the battles and not getting along, and he or she says, I want a divorce. You start the process.
Yeah, the four terrible words that is a life changer instantly. That basically is many times is the emotional shock of that person receiving that note without having any expectation of that occurring. Actually, I address exactly that in the book. The husband comes home and basically says that. And it takes several days. You go into a fog. You go into a questioning of everything. You seek out family and friends. You basically are just very, it's almost as bad as a death, but many times worse.
Yeah.
And so it's just the shock of things. And that's why you need to create a team of people, of trusted advisors that can work with you, help you through that process.
And what if, and I've heard this said before, matter of fact, some friends come and say, he said, or she said, I want a divorce, and then told me to start the process. I'm not starting the process. You want the divorce, you start the process. Is that, if I say I want a divorce, you start the process, is that a serious request?
You know, you could hear almost anything and everything in these situations. So most times if somebody's going to be requesting a divorce, what I've found is that person's been planning it for a long time. So what you have to remember, this isn't something they decided on their drive home.
If they're serious,
they've either, for whatever reason, they've already started either realigning assets, they're moving, maybe if somebody's trying to, knowing they're going to come up with this, and depending on whether they have outside influences or not in this scenario. But it comes down to, once they say that, one person is already sort of there, and the other person is like starting from scratch.
Yes.
And so that's why the shock and awe kind of a situation happens, and that's why that person that's receiving the message needs time to step back and give consideration to things and get help.
All right. When we come back, my guest is going to give us again, I can't express to you how important I think it is that you start the process the right way. And I think we have to go over that again with you. Look, we know that at least half of you listening are going to find yourself in this situation. It's a stunning number. But if you do this right, according to Stanley, you might get through this. You might even save your marriage. When we come back, we'll go over that again so that you hear very clearly how you handle this or how you try to handle this. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm your host, Paul Berry. Is that your song? Are we playing your song right now? I hope we're not. But for millions of folks in this country, we are playing their song. And it's one that they're very sorry about, and one that if we can help you avoid looking down the slope to a divorce, you're going to be hurt, and the kids are going to be confused. All of that Stan Corey knows this. This is where he lives in terms of being a financial planner, because he knows, Stan, that in most cases the biggest issue is money. Is the issue between people. I mean, if they're going to fight about anything, the substance of that is not whether I love you or I don't. It's how did you spend the money, or where's the money, or how much am I going to get, or what are you going to get, or why did you do this? It's so simple and yet so complicated.
Sometimes people think it is a matter of just splitting everything in half. And you go down there and you find out the halves are not necessarily equal. One of the things I talk about in Virginia, it's an equitable state, but equitable doesn't mean equal either. So what happens, you can have something as simple as I have a stock portfolio, and we're going to divide it in half. And it's worth $100,000. You're going to get $50,000. I'm going to get $50,000. And you say everything's wonderful. except the $50,000 I took has a cost basis of $40,000, and the $50,000 I gave you has a cost basis of $10,000. So you got taxes on 40 and I got taxes on 10, but you don't know it.
And you got to know that stuff, right?
Exactly. And so the same thing with people sit down also when you divide up a house. Many times I find that a woman may want to keep the house, especially if they have children. They want to change their environment. There's always desire to do that. And they think of just the mortgage payment. Say, well, we're only paying $3,000 a month in a mortgage. If I go rent a place, it's going to cost me $3,000 or more to rent a place. But then you have to sit down and say, well, what are the other costs associated with owning the house? And I try to tell my clients, don't be married to your house, you know, because there is a lot more than the mortgage payment. And there, when you really look into a house and how much upkeep and all the money you spend on a house, it doesn't turn out to be all that hot of an investment after all. In a long period of time, you look at the last 20 years, you might average 2% or something on a house because of all the expenses. So you have to totally understand, you know, all of the aspects of different types of accounts, whether they're retirement accounts or they're non-retirement accounts, whether
you need help here,
whether they're depreciating assets or not, you know, cars or whatever.
Yeah.
She has all that jewelry. I want half of her jewelry, and go, well, wait a minute, didn't you give her the jewelry? You know, so, you know, you can't go back and say the gift of the diamond ring was before you were married, so that's a gift. I mean, all these different things that come up. It amazes me sometimes that some of the fights are over things, and things can be replaced in most cases. But somebody gets all worked up because they want the thing that's in the house that's important to them.
And they don't really want it. What they really want to do is either hurt the other person.
Deprive the other person.
That's exactly.
Or they, to them, somebody may want a thing so badly they give up a bunch of other things that's to their detriment. So you can have the reverse happen. So the emotional issues are so high, and there's so many variables in there that it takes help. Really, my biggest comment would be anybody going through a divorce right now is get a team together. Get people to help you. You need a lawyer. Or you talk with a mediator or in a collateral process. Get a mental health person. But talk to several people in those areas to get the help you need, and don't.
Do you hide from your spouse that you're doing this, or do you tell him or tell her?
It depends. I mean, I think the key here is also going to add is make sure you're including the children, and again, obviously, to anyone age. But yeah, a lot of times, a spouse that might get a financial person, like in my book, I reference she gets a financial person to help her. Their lawyer referred her to a financial person because she was less well informed financially, and did not tell the husband that was forming this team right away. But as things progressed, he realized he didn't think he needed an attorney. He was just going to use a mediator. And as things progressed, all of a sudden he realizes she's like zoomed up in knowledge, and he ends up having to get a lawyer to help him because she's surpassed him in her ability to negotiate.
I hope we've helped. I know we've got just less than a minute left. Folks, listen, once you start this ball to rolling, it's very difficult to stop. So make sure that's the ball you want to play. And if it isn't, find a way to stop it. Get help. And see if you can't. You married that person for some good reason. At least we'd like to believe you did. And it may be worth saving. Swallow your pride, swallow the hurt, and see if you still love each other enough to at least talk to each other. Stan, thanks for joining us. Nice to have you here.
Thank you. Appreciate being here.
Not an easy topic, is it?
Always a difficult conversation.
Yeah.
But it's necessary.
It is necessary. That's why I've devoted this show to it, for you. If you have questions, call. Where can you reach out to you?
You can reach me. The office is 703-759-7007. You can reach me. If you Google my name, and you'll find me there. TheDivorceDance.com is where you can also contact me. And my email address is stan.corey@unitedcp.com.
Okay, folks, you got it. That's it. We're out of here. See you next week.
Thank you.
Thank you.